శ్రీ సాయి సచ్చరిత్ర ద వండర్ఫుల్ లైఫ్ అండ్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ సాయిబాబా చాప్టర్ 45 కాకాసాహెబ్స్ డౌట్ అండ్ ఆనంద్రావ్స్ విజన్ వుడన్ ప్లాంక్ బాబాస్ బెడ్స్టెడ్ అండ్ నాట్ భగత్స్ ఓం శ్రీ సాయి ప్రిలిమినరీ వి హ్యావ్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ 3 చాప్టర్స్ బాబాస్ పాసింగ్ అవే. His physical or finite form has no doubt disappeared from our views, but the infinite or spiritual form, that is, spirit of Baba, ever lives. The leelas which occurred during his lifetime have been dwelt upon at great length up till now, ever since his passing away. More leelas have taken place and are even now happening. This clearly shows that Baba is ever living and helping his devotees as before. The person who got the contact of Baba when he was living were indeed very fortunate, but if any of them did not get a dispassion for the things and enjoyments of the world and had not their minds turned to the Lord, it was surely their ill luck. What was then desired and is still now desired is the wholehearted devotion to Baba. All our senses, organs and mind should cooperate in worshipping and serving Baba. It is no use in engaging some organ in the worship and deflecting others. If a thing like worship or meditation is to be done, it ought to be done with all our mind and soul. The love that a chaste woman bears to her husband is sometimes compared to that which a disciple bears to his master, that is Guru. Yet the former falls far short of the latter, which is incomparable. No one, whether he be father, mother, brother, or any other relation, comes to our aid in attaining the goals of life, that is, self-realization. We have to chalk out and traverse the path of self-realization ourselves. We have to discriminate between the unreal and the real, renounce the things and enjoyments of this world and control our senses and mind, and aspire for the liberation only. Instead of depending upon others, we should have full faith in ourselves. When we begin to practice discrimination, we come to know that the world is transient and unreal, and our passion for worldly things becomes less, and ultimately we get dispassion or non-attachment for them. We have to know that the Brahma, which is no other than our Guru, is the reality, and as it transcends and besets the seeming universe, we begin to worship it in all creatures. This is the unity of bhajan or worship. When we thus worship the Brahma or Guru wholeheartedly, we become one with him and attain self-realization. In short, always chanting the name of the Guru and meditating on him enables us to see him in all beings and confers eternal bliss on us. The following story will illustrate this. Om Shri Sai. Kaka Sahe's doubt and Anand Rao's vision. It is well known that Sai Baba had enjoined Kaka Saheb Dikshit to read daily 2 works of Sri Ekanath. Number 1, Bhagavat, and number 2, Bhavarat Ramayan. Kaka Saheb read these daily while Baba was leaving, and he followed the practice even after Baba's passing away. Once in Kaka Mahajani's house in Chaupati, Mumbai, Kaka Saheb was reading Ekanathi Bhagavat in the morning. Madharav Deshpande alias Shyama and Kaka Mahajani were then present and listening attentively to the portion read, that is the second chapter, 11th skanda of the book. Therein, the 9 Nathas or Siddhas of the Rishabha family, that is Kavi, Hari, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalyan, Avirhotra, Drumil, Chamas and Karabajan expounded the principles of Bhagavad Dharma to King Janak. The latter asked all the 9 Nathas most important question, and each of them answered them satisfactorily. The first, that is Kavi, explained, what is Bhagavad Dharma? Hari, the characteristic of Bhakta, that is devotee. Antariksha, what is Maya? Prabuddha, how to cross Maya? Pipalyan, what is Parabrahma? Avirhotra, what is Karma? Drumil, the incarnation of God and their deeds. Chamas, how a non-devotee fears after death. Karbhajan, the different modes of worship of God in different ages. The substance of all the exposition was that in that Kali age, the only means of liberation was the remembrance of Hari, that is Lord, or Guru's feet. After the reading was over, Kaka Sahib sent a despondent tone to Madhav Rao and others. How wonderful is the discourse of the nine Nathas on bhakti or devotion, but at the same time how difficult it is to put it into practice. The Nathas were perfect, but is it possible for fools like us to attain the devotion as delineated by them? We won't get it even after several births. Then how are we to get salvation? It seemed that there is no hope for us. Madhav Rao did not like this pessimistic attitude of Kaka Sahib. He said, it is a pity that one who by his good luck got such a jewel, that is Guru as Baba, should cry out so despairingly. If he has unwavering faith in Baba, why should he feel restless? The bhakti of the Nathas may be strong and powerful, but is not ours loving and affectionate? And has not Baba told us authoritatively that remembering and chanting Hari's and Guru's name confers salvation? Then, where is the cause for fear and anxiety? Kaka Sahib was not satisfied with Madhav Rao's explanation. He continued to be anxious and restless the whole day, thinking and brooding over how to get the powerful bhakti of the Nathas. Next morning, the following miracle took place. One gentleman named Anand Rao Pakade came there in search of Madhav Rao. The reading of the Bhagavat was then going on. Mr. Pakade sat near Madhav Rao and was whispering something to him. He was mentioning in low tone his dream vision. As there were some interpretation in the reading by this whispering, Kaka Sahib stopped the reading and asked Madhav Rao what the matter was. The latter said, yesterday you expressed your doubt. Now, here is the explanation of it. Here, Mr. Pakade's vision. Explaining the characteristic of saving devotion and showing that the devotion in the form of bowing down to or worship of Guru's feet is sufficient. All were anxious to hear the vision, especially Kaka Sahib. At their suggestion, Mr. Pakade began to relate the vision as follows. I was standing in deep sea in waist deep water. There I saw Sai Baba all of a sudden. He was sitting on a beautiful throne studded with diamonds, with his feet submerged in water. I was most pleased and satisfied with the form of Baba. This vision was so realistic that I never thought that it was a dream. Curiously enough, Madhav Rao was also standing there. He said to me, feeling Anand Rao fall at Baba's feet. I rejoined, I also wish to do so, but his feet are in water. How can I place my head on them? I am helpless. Hearing this, he said to Baba, O Deva, take out your feet which are under water. Then Baba immediately took out his feet. I caught them without delay and bowed to them. On seeing this, Baba blessed and saying, go now, you will attain your welfare. There is no cause for fear and anxiety. He also added, give a silk bordered dhotar to my Shama. You will benefit thereby. In compliance with Baba's order, Mr. Pakade had bought the dhotar and requested Kaka Sahib to hand it over to Madhav Rao. But the latter refused to accept it, saying that unless Baba gave a hint or suggestion for acceptance, he would not accept it. Then after some discussion, Kaka Sahib decided to cast lots. It was the invariable practice of Kaka Sahib to cast lots in all the matter and to abide by the decision, as given in the picked up chit in doubt. In this particular case, two chits, on one of which was written to accept and on another to reject, were placed at feet of Baba's picture, and a child was asked to pick one of them. The accept chit was picked up and the dhotar was accepted by Madhav Rao. In this way, both Anand Rao and Madhav Rao were satisfied and Kaka Sahib's difficulties were solved. This story exhorts us to give respect to the words of other saints, but at the same time ask us to have full faith in our mother, that is the Guru, and abide by his instructions, for he knows our welfare better than any other person. carve out on your heart the following words of Baba. There are innumerable saints in this world, but our Father, that is Guru, is the Father, that is real Guru. Others might say many good things, but we should never forget our Guru's words. In short, love your Guru wholeheartedly, surrender to him completely and prostrate yourself before him reverentially. And then you will see that there is no sea of the mundane existence before you cross. Om Shri Sai. Wooden plank, Baba's bedstead, and not Bhagat's. In his earlier days, Baba slept on wooden plank, 4 arms in length and only a span in breadth, with panatis, that is earthen lamps, burning at his 4 corners. Later on, he broke the plank into pieces and threw it away. Reference chapter 10. Once, Baba was describing the greatness or importance of this plank to Kaka Sahib. On hearing this, the latter said to Baba, "If you still love the wooden plank, I will again suspend or hang up one in the masjid for you to sleep at ease." Baba replied, "I won't like to sleep up, leaving Mahalaspati down on the ground." Then Kaka Sahib said, "I will provide another plank for Mahalaspati too." Baba said, "How can he sleep on the plank? It is not easy to sleep on the plank. He who can sleep with his eyes wide open can effect that. When I go to sleep, I often ask Mahalaspati to sit by my side, place his hand on my heart and watch the chanting of the Lord's name there. And if he finds me sleepy, wake me up. He can't do even this. He himself gets drowsy and began to nod his head. When I feel his hand heavy as a stone on my heart and cry out, 'O Bhagat,' he moves and opens his eyes. How can he who can't sit and sleep well on the ground and whose asana, that is posture, is not steady, and who is slave to sleep, can sleep high up on a plank?" On many other occasions, Baba said, out of love for his devotees, "What, whether good or bad, is ours, is with us, and what is others is with them." Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all.